Book of Philippians. This is a message that I have shared before. It's been a couple years ago, and it's just very, very pertinent for the time. I was struggling a little bit about the timing of this message until I came to church, and this morning, opening up our Sunday school, Chuck had made a few comments about the Lord and things, and it was just real validation to me that this is what I'm supposed to be sharing. You know, I've said this in the past, you know, we get a lot of information. You know, we're in an information age, and you know, and I've said this little across these I plus A equals T, information plus application equals transformation. You know, we can preach all we want and teach all we want, but until you take the Word of God and you apply it to your life, amen, it's not going to transform you.
That's right.
You have to trust the Lord to do it. That's why our verse for this church is 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We ought to be about that. So in this letter of thanksgiving to this little church, just try to give you a little overview of the book of Philippians. And most Christians that are familiar with the book are familiar with the term rejoicing or joying in the Lord. The word rejoice or rejoicing is found 16 times within this little epistle. It's only 4 chapters long, and this is Paul's letter of thanksgiving to this little church who had been a big blessing in his life. The church at Philippi was founded in 50 AD on Paul's second missionary journey. Many historians believe that the church was founded at first by the Philippian jailer's house. And as a result of Paul being in jail, this church was born. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, I mean, God takes these things in our lives that we think are so terrible and turns them into a blessing. And this little congregation loved the Apostle Paul. And when this little congregation learned of their beloved apostle was in prison, this is one of the prison epistles, they sent him a gift of money by the hand of one of their church members, was Epaphroditus. While there, Epaphroditus got sick and he almost died. This distressed the Philippians, and when Paul heard of their sorrow, he sent Epaphroditus home to them along with this letter. Aren't you glad he did? Amen. This letter of thanksgiving and of their generosity to this apostle. So in these verses, Paul gives us some insight or into a few blessings that we of believers can enjoy. So I wanted to share with you in Philippians, and we will start our reading in verse 10 of chapter 4. Now the Bible says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last of your care of me hath flourished again." You can see that he uses many personal pronouns to his relationship to the Philippian church, to him personally. And your care for me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You know, I wish we as Christians could say that. Doesn't matter what I'm going through, I'm content in the Lord. He goes on in verse 12, he says, "I know how to be abased and I know how to abound." That means he knows how to have nothing and he knows how to have everything where it's overflowing. "Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Now, look at this phrase here. "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." That's quite a verse. You know, I heard a preacher say, you know, I'm going to preach on the famous text out of the Bible, like John 3:16, like Isaiah 40:31, you know, Genesis 1:1, you know. But this right here, that verse 13 and verse 19 would be verses I believe that most Christians are very familiar with. It should be anyways. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory and forever. Amen. Let me draw your attention back to verse 19. But just the first few words here. But my God shall. I want you to think about that this morning. My God shall. Father, thank you again for your precious holy word. We pray this morning that you make it a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we'd be amiss this morning not to pray for the Thomases and the brothers and sisters in Ukraine that are suffering and dying for their faith today, and just the general population as a whole. I pray that you would be magnified and glorified in some way, somehow, through this horrific invasion. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to see this phrase again, my God shall. If God gives me time today, I'd like to share. I already know by looking at the clock, I'm not going to get through the 3 points I have, or the three thoughts on this topic, but I want you to think about it. If you don't get nothing else this morning, I would like you to be thinking about what Paul said. He said, but my God shall. You know, I think the problem is today for us as believers that we don't think like this. Paul thought like this. I mean, he's sitting here praising God, saying he's abounding and doing great when he was in jail. Amen. I'm telling you, Paul, whatever situation he was in, he found God. Amen. You know, someone has said this about Paul, that Paul was in chains, but his ministry was not in chains. He was in a prison cell. His prison cell became a witnessing station, or if you could say, his pulpit, or his anvil upon which he fashioned the image of Christ. Wherever he was, he always shared Christ. And we got to get out of this thing of that. You know, see, the problem is we don't say, my God shall. We'll say, well, I hope God will do this. Or, hey, you know, maybe God can work this out. Amen. You know, and we need to start living and believing like God can. Amen. And God shall change the situation that we're in. There's no situation too big that God can't handle. You know, as Brother Thomas said, God's still on his throne. Amen. You know, in Colossians 1-3, the Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now listen to this. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of this earth. For you were dead and your life is hid with God in Christ. Or Christ, it was hid with Christ in God. Think about that for a minute. But we need to set our affections on the things above, not the things on this earth. I remember one time I was going to work when I was driving a bus, and the way I was walking, old Brother Marty Coon said, man, you got to lift your head, brother. He goes, man, you look like you're walking with the weight of the world on you. You know, I was going through a pretty deep trial at that time. Amen. But it doesn't matter how big your trial is, you need to be looking up and, you know, and believe that God can, amen? My God shall, right? My God shall. So I'd like us to if we're going to do points, and like I said, I got 3 points or three thoughts, and let's see how far we can get with the first one, with this statement, this first thought, my God shall satisfy me. Amen. You know, I hope you're satisfied in Jesus today. Amen. You need to be if you're not. Let me just first say this. We need to be satisfied even in our prosperity. Let me qualify that statement. There's a lot of people that have a lot, but they're not satisfied. You know, there's a lot of people that have a lot of things and a lot of money, but they're not satisfied. To live in prosperity, nobody, you know, really no one has too much trouble here. You know, even if you're poor, you might say, well, I'll give it a try, amen, right? But there's always a danger when all the bills are paid and we have plenty that we get our eyes off the Lord. And Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to be always looking at Jesus. See, you know, and when I where I read in here in Philippians, Paul says that he knew, right? Let me go back to the text in Philippians 4. He says in verse 11, not that I speak in respect or of want. He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Paul knew what it was like. He knew what it was like to be abased. You know, the word means down to the basic, ground down. You know, you ever been there? You know, I think a lot of young people, and I'm not picking on you today. I am so glad you're here. Amen. But a lot of times they've never really been through some hard times. Now, buckle up. You might just experience some of that. You know, it's been a long time since I've went into a grocery store looking for something that I wanted to buy, my special food, amen, and it's not there. I'll give you one example, Jimmy Dean sausage. You might not like it, but I like Jimmy Dean sausage, amen. More particular, I like Jimmy Dean sage sausage. So if you buy some, keep it frozen, I will purchase and I will give you a little above your bidding, amen. But what's that? Yeah, I know. Okay, come on, man. I'm a Gentile, brother. Amen. Give me the BLT. Right. But here's the thing. Last month for men's breakfast, my wife likes to use that sausage to make the biscuits and gravy for men's breakfast. Last month it wasn't there. And sure enough, we went Friday night looking for it and it was gone. And there was a lot of things gone. You know, it's there's going to be times, amen. I mean, really, We're approaching, and we're already there with food shortages, you know. We don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. I'm glad that we know who holds tomorrow. Amen. But people have never really been through some hard times because of their age. Hang on, you might see it, amen. I mean, I remember in the 70s, I was a young man, but I do remember the gas lines. Man, I'm telling you. I'm going to whine a little bit here because I've lived in Idaho for 30 years. A couple years I spent, I had to do some time in Wyoming, but I'm back, amen, right? But I've never paid no $4 for gasoline. Pete, have you ever paid over $4 for a gallon of gas in the state of Idaho?
Not much if you did.
I'll tell you. See, Paul knew what it was like to be abased when everything falls apart, amen? Look at Paul of his own testimony, how he was content when everything fell apart. I don't want to get into it too much, but being that this church was started in Acts 16, you will see that Paul and Silas were preaching. They were beaten and thrown into jail. And as they were in jail, they sung praises unto the Lord, right? And as a result, the earthquake and the jailer was going to kill himself. They said, whoa, no one's gone. Don't kill yourself. The jailer got saved. Amen. That great statement. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Amen. He got saved. As a result, the church was born in Philippi. And it was because Paul went through the bad times and kept his eyes on Jesus. Let's look at his testimony. And you can turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22, starting in verse 22. It says, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seeds of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I the more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measures, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft." Now we know that this is Paul's life was a true prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when he got saved in Acts 9, Jesus says, "You will know what it's like to suffer for my name." And he gives his little testimony, or his big testimony, of all the times and all these trials he went through. Verse 24 of the Jews, five times I 40 stripes saved ones. That means five times he was whipped with a cat of nine tails on his back. They'd say most men wouldn't even survive one of them. But Paul had it happen five times. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Study that one out. Rods that they say they were little sticks that they were put together and they were bound up. So when they hit the assailant, amen, it was like a rattling effect. It would literally break people's bones. Paul had that happen to him, amen. Three times, amen. Once I was stoned. Read the account at Lystra. I don't know. Hey, are you ready to go out into the rock pit and have people throw rocks at you or stones at you? You know, many believe that Paul was actually died. And then when he gets up at Lystra and he gets up after being stoned, right? Instead of saying, "Man, let's get out of this county, amen." He goes, a fool for Jesus, he goes back into town and says, "I need to pick up where I left off." Amen.
As I was saying,
that's what he did. Amen. Thrice or three times I suffered shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. Now, I guess I've watched too many movies, man. I've watched these shipwreck movies. They got this thing called air disasters. You ever seen that? They got ship disasters. These people drowning and being in a ship that sinks, man, I'm telling you what, that ain't my cup of tea, man. I don't like water. I don't like that kind of water, amen? And Paul says, you know, through these shipwrecks, that one time he had spent a night and a day having been in the deep. That means he was floating around in the ocean for a night and a day. Then he goes on, verse 26, in journeys often, in perils of water robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, which cometh upon me daily. These are things that just happen to me all the time. And he says, besides that, the care of all the churches. Good night. I mean, one grown man, spirit-filled child of God, pastoring a church, that's enough to kill anybody. Yeah. But yet Paul said, beyond that, all these churches I started, I got to care for them. Then he says this, he goes, who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must need glory, I will glory in the things concerning my infirmities, that God and the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. God, listen, God will testify of these things of me. He also said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You can't sidestep it. If you're going to live for Jesus, you're going to suffer. Amen. And I don't even know if we know what that's all about yet. I mean, I don't know if any of you have ever read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. This was the martyrs during, I believe, the I don't know, it could be the 16th, 17th century during the reign of Queen Mary. They called her Bloody Mary. And that means that's when the Catholic Church was the Church of England. And I'm telling you, they burned these people. They drowned these people. But if you read the accounts, you'll see how they gladly went to the stake. They sang as they were being burned. There were times that they chained all these people together, and then they just threw the first few into the river, and then a subsequent chain would just pull everybody into the river to drown them. I mean, on and on. I'm telling you, it changed my life as I read Fox's Book of Martyrs. But you know, there are Christians being martyred today for the cause of Christ in the Middle East, Ukraine, wherever. See, there is going to be adversity, amen. We got to say it, but God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and mercy. See, we need to be faithful in the midst of our adversity and in the midst of our prosperity. I love it the way Paul said it. He goes, I've learned to be content. Not just when things are good. No. He says, when I'm abased and when I abound. When things are good and when things are bad, I'm going to praise God. You know, it's easy for us to praise God when things are good. Amen. And you want to know something? He says in verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect or of want, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. He says, listen, God has taught me this. You know, God has taught me this. I remember after I got saved, I started experiencing little trials, you know. There's no way that I could have handled the trials I went through after being a Christian for 25 years. I could have handled the first 5 months of my Christianity. God knew that, amen. But like anything, God makes you stronger. He brings you along. He's never going to give you nothing you can't handle. I promise you that. He's not. Now, you might not think you can handle it, but God will give it to you. Amen. And we need to learn this. He also says in verse 12, verse 11, he says, I have learned. And verse 12, he says, I am instructed. You know, let me ask you something. Where are you getting your instruction from? I'm sorry, Dr. Phil let you down. Amen. I know sometimes he has good things to say, but, you know, where are you getting your instruction? Are you getting it from the manual? See, and when I read stuff like this and I read sections of scripture like this in Philippians 4, it tells me to be faithful. Amen. It tells me to be faithful in the good times, and it also tells me to be faithful in the bad times. Amen. And so when adversity comes, I'm going to be faithful. When prosperity comes, I'm going to be faithful. Amen. Come on, Jonathan, I need, you know, help me here, brother. Because God's blessed you, brother. Amen. God's blessed you, and God's blessed some other people in this room with some prosperity. But before we dig into that a little bit more, let's look back at adversity. See, whatever adversity comes, we have a tendency. Listen, here's the problem. You know, I don't know if I could have handled the whippings and the beatings and the shipwrecks and the rods and the whips and the stones like Paul did, right? But Paul didn't give that to everybody. I mean, God didn't give that to everybody, but he gave it to Paul because he knew Paul could handle it. See, here's the problem. When adversity comes, what do we have a tendency, come on now, we want to quit. What's one of the first things we do? We get discouraged and we say, you know what? I don't feel like going to church. It's raining today. Man, I don't want to get wet. Come on. But them brothers that love hunting, man, it could be 10 feet of snow in the driveway. They'll lock it in and boom, they're gone, right? I can't go to church, right? Come on. Let me get a little more pointed, all right? I'm going through this great trial, man. You got to understand, I need a drink. It's going to make me feel better. Huh? It's going to take this pain away. Yeah. Some of you are shaking your head. You're saying, yeah, that's a lie from the devil, right? Well, it could be sexual pleasure. I mean, it could be that. It could be viewing pornography. It could be taking drugs. I'm just saying, hey, the devil don't care how he gets you away from God. He's going to, you know, and God allows them. Someone had said this one time. It blew my mind. I said, man, you can't be saying that. You know what they said? God, Brother Chuck, God has entrusted you with this trial. Now, Chuck had his house burned to the ground. God trusted Chuck. Chuck, how are you going to handle this? I guarantee you, I was there on the side of the mountain when it was still burning and the news showed up. And if it was my house, I'd say, get them cameras back up the hill. But God didn't burn my house down because he knew I couldn't handle it. I like my junk more than Chuck's, right? I'm just trying to be honest with you today, right? But through Chuck's whole life and all the trials he had been through with his, just his wife battling cancer at that time, skin cancer, I'm telling you, Chuck said, yeah, I'll talk to him. Gave a testimony of the Lord, amen. Time after time after time, people, how do you handle that? He had a smile on his face. He says, it's just stuff, man. You know, I'm just saying, how are we going to handle adversity? Because it's, you know, whenever it happens, we have a tendency to quit instead of following God, instead of allowing God to shape us and mold us and guide us through this. Or let me just say, the Bible says it a lot better. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, listen to this. Romans chapter 8, I know you know these verses, but I want to read them. Verse 28 says, and now we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. What do you mean? Everything. I'm saying everything. Everything. I mean, in Philippians, it says that we should thank God for everything. But here's the reason why God allows adversity and prosperity into your life. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God uses them trials to mold you and shape you into the image of Christ. That's why James says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations. Amen. You know, that's why Peter said, don't think it's strange. Don't think it's odd when you encounter these things. Embrace them as God's will. Don't quit on him. You know, I was listening to that message and they were talking about the martyrs back there and these men going to the stakes, and you can read it yourself in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, but some of them, they say, literally anticipated and just almost ran to the sticks, ran to the pile of wood because they counted it an honor to be worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. And some of them would have never died if they would have said, it's okay for infants to be baptized at that salvation, which we know is wrong. And they knew it was wrong. They died because they stood against infant baptism. Because we know what the Bible teaches. You can't get saved unless you know Jesus. Amen. What's that? That's right. Amen. We know that all things to be conformed. See, so dealing with adversity and remaining faithful as a Christian is not easy, but it's worth it. See, and I'm going to close with this one. See, adversity isn't the only test of our faithfulness. Prosperity can be too. You can say, oh, no. I'm blessed because I'm a child of God, amen? Because God loves me, I'm blessed, amen? Well, I believe that prosperity can be just as fatal in the Christian experience as adversity. In adversity, we want to quit. And in prosperity, we tend to forget God. You get that? In adversity, we want to quit. In prosperity, we tend to forget. When life is going well and everyone is healthy and all the bills are paid, there's money in the bank and the future looks rosy, we don't think we need to depend upon God because, you know what, we did this. Aren't I good? Amen. God's blessing me. As strange as it may seem, it is our best days that the devil is most successful to luring us to depend on our own power and our own strength. One example, and I'm going to close, King Uzziah. Matter of fact, next week I'll pick up, we'll start with him. King Uzziah. He was a king of Israel for 52 years. How many people here, there's a lot, you don't have to raise your hand, that are under 52 years? I used to be able to do that, 52 years old, right? But can you imagine, you know, you're 52 years old. If you're 52 years and younger, you can say, hey, Uzziah's been my king. I've never had no other national leader. He was a contemporary of Isaiah. Scholars believe that him and Isaiah were thick as thieves. Amen. The Bible says that they knew each other. Amen. Isaiah was down and out when he did die. If you see in Isaiah chapter 6, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Man, I'm telling you, Isaiah was a godly king. He was a great king. Started ruling when he was 16 years old. The Bible depicts him as being a genius. It says that he's in 2 Chronicles 26:5 that he sought God in the days of Zechariah, another prophet, who had understandings of the visions of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That was the key to his success. Uzziah followed God with his whole heart. And he was a godly king. It goes on to say in 2 Chronicles 26:15 that he made in Jerusalem engines inventing by cunning men and to be towers and upon the bulwarks and to shoot arrows and great stones therewith. And his name spread afar abroad, for he was marvelously helped. God had his hand on Uzziah. He was a genius. He was a master. He was a great leader. He was a great king. But what happened? Let's go back to the text. In 2 Chronicles 26, and verse 15, I just read about all these inventions he did, and it says his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped. Till he was strong. Verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar. Until he was strong. You know what brought him down? Is that little word we share around here. Pride. Proverbs 16:10 says, only by pride, 13:10, only by pride cometh destruction. Folks, when we get to the spot to where we think we got it all, right? We figured this all out. That's a dangerous, dangerous place to be in. If God has blessed you, you need to bless him. If God has blessed you, your family, you ought to bless others. Amen. You ought to be a part of doing what God wants. Don't have time to continue on, but we will continue on next week. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. I don't really know how to do this invitation this morning, but Lord, I know you do. So Lord, I don't know who's struggling. Maybe there's more here dealing with adversity than they are prosperity. I don't know, Lord, but I pray that you deal with every heart, whether they're rich or poor, whether they're abased or they abound. But more than anything, Lord, I pray for the one here that might not know you as their personal Savior, Jesus. They've never accepted you, never trusted you to take them to heaven when they die. They have trusted in themselves for much, but Lord, they need to put their full trust in you. Lord, there might be a child of yours today, someone that is saved, someone that does know they're on their way to heaven, but they are struggling. Lord, maybe it was something in the message, or maybe it was a verse I read. Something got them today. Lord, I pray that they would respond to your word in Jesus' name. Amen.